At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the OHIO Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That is the Wild Man, Chris Wilds. And this is our Ohio State 2024 season preview. Chris, we made it. The last one.
It's the only one that counts, Eric. National champs, baby.
The first 17 didn't count? My goodness,
what kind of work? We did that for fun, man.
This one's for real, huh?
This was the real deal.
Well, this roster is the real deal. That is for sure, man. This has been, I would say, one of the most interesting off seasons for two reasons. Number one, your rival wins the national championship, but yet there's all the controversy hanging around up there. And then on top of that, you have probably the greatest off season and roster building in Ohio State history.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, NLA today, baby. Love it. Love it. I'm psyched.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that in a different show.
But you know what? Yeah, this is amazing. You know, Urban Meyer said it best, man. He said this may be the best roster he's seen assembled in somewhat 30 years, I think he said, 20 years.
And then he doubled down on that. He doubled down. I think he said 13 years, and then he doubled down on it. Basically saying, no, I didn't misspeak. That's how I really feel about it. So this is going to be a very interesting season. That doesn't do anything to diminish the expectations, but these are the same expectations that Ryan Day has dealt with since his tenure here. But the thing is he finally has a roster that people feel like, hey, both sides of the ball, there's no excuses.
He's enhanced expectations with this roster.
He really has. He absolutely, absolutely really has. That being said, let's dive into it. Let's go back and look at what they did last year, Chris, real fast. So they started off with 11 straight wins, Indiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky, the big one at Notre Dame, Maryland, Purdue, Penn State, Wisconsin. That Penn State game of 2012. Ugh. Wisconsin, Rutgers, Michigan State, Minnesota before going into Ann Arbor and losing by 6. 24-30, and then basically just quitting for the bowl game against Missouri, 3-14.
Don't get me started.
Vegas said this was a 10.5 win team. I had them at 11-1. Chris, you had them at 12-0. Both of us won money on the Buckeyes last year. And it's interesting, that's the same line they've got this year. So I think we just go back to the well. If I'm going to be a betting man. So 11-2, 8-1 over in the Big Ten last year. Ryan Day's net record is now 56-8. Of course, the Horseshoe has 102,000 screaming fans over at Ohio Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. All-time record for the Buckeyes, now 964 wins, 333 losses, and 53 ties. And the bowl record is 27-29, and they have won 41 conference championships, Chris. This is next to that team in Ann Arbor and I guess USC now, because we can count them in the conference. One of, I guess you would say, three blue bloods in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And honestly, Eric, there's some teams in the making that are going to make a lot of noise as well. So, yeah, the Big Ten, it's competitive. Yeah. It is a competitive conference. No longer can it be said that the SEC is the dominant conference. I think that we have enough established teams in this that, you know, we're going to see some years where it's, you know, 4-4 with the teams going into the playoff from the SEC and from the Big Ten. Some years we're going to see those years where one team might have five and the other have three. But I'll tell you what, one thing I can guarantee you in a 12-team format, this Ohio State team isn't going anywhere.
No, they're going to be in it more times than not. That's plain to see. And this season, it all starts this season. And this eerily feels very much to me like 2014, the first year that they had the 14 playoff. And except Ohio State didn't have those expectations that year, but they ended up finishing first anyways as the first team to win in the college football playoff era. I just feel like Ohio State's going to do it again, Chris. We're going to win again in the first year of the 12-year playoff era and go back to that well again.
Well, and you know, so many predictions that I have heard have Georgia. I've heard Bama. I've heard all the SEC teams. A lot of people are overlooking Ohio State. And you know what? That's the same thing that happened in 2002 when we shocked Miami and broke the U. It's the same thing that happened in 2014 when we came out and took down the two big dogs at that time in Oregon and Alabama.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a quick we're going to go to our interview. Sorry. We're going to go to our interview with Chris Drew from Menace to Sports. A fantastic, fantastic interview. You guys are going to love this. We kind of went a little bit of a different direction with this interview because most of you who are watching this are Ohio State fans anyways. You know all the information that we would have done and like we did in the other 17 previews, except this time we just decided to have a little bit of fun with this one and go a little bit with a deeper dive on things. You're going to love this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the OHL Podcast, everybody. And as you can see, I'm joined by my special guest, Chris Drew from Menace to Sports. Chris, my pleasure to have you with me this morning as we record this. Big fan of your work, my man. And here's what I'm going to do to pump you up here this morning. Usually I tell everybody, hey, I really like your podcast, or this one. Like, I think you might be one of the best dudes in this sphere.
Oh, thank you. No way. I appreciate you.
For real. Like, your reputation precedes you. Every time I've ever watched you, man, I come away from every show I've ever seen and be like, that is a good dude, man. So it is awesome to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Whenever I, get on a microphone or whenever I talk to people about kind of what I do, I always tell people, I just want to do it the right way. That's all I care about. Obviously I love Ohio State. I love college football. Everybody knows that. And I'm just excited that, after some time that my work is starting to stick and people are taking notice. And again, I just want to do it the right way. And so I'm really thankful that things have kind of gone the way they have so far. I appreciate you.
I fully expect to see you on television someday. That's my expectation of you. So not to set the bar too high for you, Chris, but
I'll write that down, Eric. As soon as I make it, I'll shoot you a text. Eric, we did it.
There we go. I expect that to happen, man. I think you're that talented.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, let's dive into the weeds of this Ohio State team, man. So usually I start by saying, what are the major storylines when we're talking about a team? And I think for Ohio State, it's really twofold. Number one, you've got Ryan Day in this roster, right? Let's start with Ryan Day. I'm just going to come right out and ask you. He fails to beat that team up north, doesn't win a Big Ten championship, falls flat on his face in the college football playoff. Hot seat. I think it's warmer than what some people want to talk about. Obviously, if you talk to some people who are on game day currently, he would say he'll be fired. I don't know about that. I think he's given at least one more year, but definitely the hot seat if that were to happen. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't want that to happen. But do you feel that Ryan Day feels that currently?
I think he does. I think he has to feel it. I mean, in Ohio State history, like obviously like the Ohio State head coach is not held to like the national standard to everybody else, right? Like you have to beat the team of North. You have to beat Michigan. That is the number one most important thing. I think that if they don't win the Big Ten, I think you're okay. I think that if you lay an egg in the playoffs, I think that he's okay, especially with the new AD. But I think the one thing that's inexcusable this year for Ryan Day with this roster and the $20 million that they used to put this roster together is going to be the – beating Michigan. You just have to, Eric. Like you and I both know, like, if you're here, like, we don't care about all the other games. Like, a bunch of coaches could come here and win every game except for the Michigan game. And while other places that could be fantastic, that'd be great, it's not great at Ohio State. I think that, honestly, his seat's a little bit warm after losing three straight to Michigan. I think the thing that kind of maybe cooled his seat off a little bit was the fact that Michigan went on to win a national title and you only lost to them by seven and you spotted them, or you only lost them by six and you spotted them seven. But if you're Ryan Day, maybe the seat not hot, but you have to feel the pressure to win something, because the way this roster is constructed, you know, kind of what happened to Michigan currently, we expect them not to be very good this year, not to be great this year. That paired with kind of, you have all the tools, all the funding, all the coaches you would want to kind of get this thing over the top. I mean, if you're Ryan Day, you don't feel pressure. I don't know if you're even a human at this point.
Right, right. And, you know, you go back, you look at history. Earl Bruce was fired after going 5-4 against them. He had a winning record, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody calls Ryan Day John Cooper 2.0. And you know, Cooper had at least two teams in this current era that probably would have at least played for a national championship.
I agree.
In 96 and 98. You know, you look at the way that this roster's constructed, and you brought it up, the $20 million. This might be, in my opinion, the best roster offensively and defensively combined that I have seen, at least in the Ryan Day era, and maybe since 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as we kind of alluded to in our preseason magazine, this is the best roster money can buy.
Yeah, I mean, so, this is New York Yankees. This is that. I mean, and it's not just us as Ohio State, you know, fans saying that. It's you know, not just us as Ohio State people covering the sport, covering the team, and saying that. I mean, Jim Tressel came out and said, like, I've never seen anything like this. Urban Meyer, who recruited in the SEC, like knows talented teams, follows the sport really closely, was at Ohio State 2014, 2015, ridiculous load of teams, both sides of the ball, comes out and says, yeah, this is the most talented roster on paper I've seen the last decade in college football, and not just at Ohio State. So, I mean, this truly is the best roster money can buy, and it's money can buy paired with the development of that defense, you know, naturally homegrown, plus an addition of, like, Caleb Downs. So this roster's outrageous, man. Like, I really kind of ran out of ways to describe it. I mean, in what world do you ever have, you know, the best secondary unit in the country? You know, you probably have four of the top 10 safeties, and one of them is going to play linebacker. Just think about how silly that is. If you look at team speed across the board, you know, running back wise, like, this is not just the best running back room in college football this year. Probably the best in one of those Georgia rooms, and maybe better than that. And I don't think people realize how great Quinshon was behind a really bad offensive line at Ole Miss. I mean, we're talking about, again, offensively and defensively. If you split this offense up into two different teams, you could probably have two top five Big Ten offenses. If you split the defense into two, you could probably have two top 10 defenses in the country. And again, it's all on the same team if you're there to break it down like that. So I'm just not sure when the next time you're going to have a roster like this is.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know.
I mean, how many times have we looked back and we said, man, that was a good enough defense, or that was a good enough offense, but the other side of the ball wasn't carrying their weight?
I mean, that's kind of been the poison, right? Like last year, our defense, absolutely good enough to win a natty. What was the issue? The offense, the quarterback. I mean, CJ Stroud, both of his years, what do you say? Oh, our offense is good enough to win a natty. It was the defense that wasn't there. At some point, if you're Ryan Day, you want both together. The one year that they had good enough on both sides was that 2019 year. We know what happened. Ran into Clemson. Some calls didn't go Ohio State's way. Still breaks my heart a little bit to this day, because I thought that team was incredible. That was a team that was good enough on both sides of the ball, but you have, like, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence and you know, Jalen Hurts, like a loaded group of playoff teams. This year, your offense is good enough and your defense is more than good enough. I mean, you're talking about, again, a really special unit on both sides of the football.
Yeah. When you look at the players who have exited and gone to the NFL, outside of Marvin Harrison Jr., and as we know, the wide receiver room just reloads. And we'll get to Jeremiah Smith in a minute. But, you know, I sit there and I look at this roster and I think, okay, where do we need to plug holes because of where what has gone? Outside of Marvin Harrison Jr., everybody came back, and then the one piece that us Buckeye fans complained about the most is went to Syracuse.
Yep.
And it's like, it's almost like, even where it's like you have to refine somebody or replace somebody, it's addition by subtraction. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. was a generational talent. We famously made a wide receiver algorithm to try to determine who the greatest was of all time. He ended up falling number two on the list. David Boston was number one.
Shout out David Boston. Where was Chris Carter?
A third. He was third on that list. So it was really tight. But, you know, outside of that, this is an all-star roster, man. Yeah. Like, it's like when the Senior Bowl is like, all right, who should we have on our watch list? They're like, Ohio State, who's a senior? All right, you're on the watch list. Like, this is incredible. I have not seen this in my lifetime, because how many times have you, like myself, gone, man, it would have been nice to see this team if that guy would have come back.
Yeah.
If that guy would have come back. I've done that my entire Ohio State life. Well, guess what? All those dudes came back except for one, and you can't blame that guy. I mean, he's a top five pick. So, gosh darn, this feels good, dude.
It's exciting, and it's exciting that it's almost here, right? That's the other part of it. Like, I saw them in practice. They look exceptional in practice. Like, we've seen all the guys last year, and even if nobody gets better at all, you think, oh, my goodness, this team's outrageous. You said it. The guys we complained about, Kyle McCord. The other two that we complained about were the linebackers. The linebackers got a lot of blame. Tommy Eichenberg got a lot of blame for some coverage stuff the last 2 years, even though he wasn't All-American 2 years ago. And you think that this year the linebackers are going to be more athletic and even better. So it's like those two rooms you think are more built for playoff and championship-level football this year than they were last year. I know Marv was great, but I really don't see a room that takes a step backwards this year.
Right, in that wild.
That's like, and I know what Marv is, but I think healthy Emeka, healthy Carnell Tate, healthy BI, and healthy, you know, that guy from South Florida, Mr. Jeremiah Smith, I think that's good enough to where you feel like, okay, we won't take a step back at wide receiver, especially because what's going to help our receiver play? Quarterback play.
Right.
It's going to help it. Right. So I don't think any unit takes a step backwards, and that feels bonkers to say, considering Marv was a top five pick in the NFL draft.
I don't think people realize, Chris, how many receivers were running open last year that just weren't seen.
I mean, Julian Fleming was getting wide open. He was getting wide open last year in the Michigan game especially, and I'm over here like, oh my goodness, like people don't know how open everybody is, and our quarterback, for whatever reason, tunnel vision, whatever, is not looking their way at all. If we get a quarterback that maneuvers pockets, goes through progressions, I think every receiver is going to eat even more. And it feels wild because Marv is a top five pick, because Marv is really special, because Marv is, you know, maybe the freakiest receiver in Ohio State history. And to feel like, okay, like, yeah, that's good, but our receiver room is going to probably perform better this year than they were last year.
That's wild. It's crazy, man.
Gives me chills, man. It gives me chills, Eric. It really does.
That's just wild, man. All right, so everybody comes back. We're all pumped about that. We're all excited about that. Jeremiah Smith comes in.
Yep.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm the guy, Chris, who's been trying to pull the reins back and say, guys, he's a freshman. He's just a freshman. There's a difference in this game. Like, don't forget, like, hey, he was Brandon Ennis's little brother, you know, down there in South Florida for a year. Okay, like, pull the reins back. I'm a huge Carnell Tate believer. I'm like, Carnell Tate, I think, is going to have a massive year. And let's not forget, Emeka Egbuka was the number one wide receiver in his class. Okay. Correct. But, dude, this guy is like that train of expectations left the station months ago.
Yeah.
I'm talking months. And that sucker is going downhill fast. He might be the most impressive true freshman that I've seen with my own two eyes before the season even starts since the big cat, Andy Katzenmoyer,
whoa,
in the mid-90s. That's how impressed I am with him right now. And I'm the guy trying to pull the reins back, man. He's physically ready for the NFL, Chris, and he's 18 years old.
It doesn't make sense.
Explain that to me.
I can't. I can't explain it. I don't know if God accidentally knocked over too much of like the freak juice in the Jeremiah Smith concoction, like it's Powerpuff Girls. Like I don't know. I saw him in person, and he looks like AJ Brown right now in the NFL. Like, it's kind of absurd. And I always try to, you know, in my personal life, I try to, you know, relax with expectations a little bit. I was talking to Denzel Burke for maybe like 2 hours, and when he I asked him to describe Jeremiah Smith to me and like keep it super honest. Like, is he going to say freshman moments, this, that, and the third? And he called him Julio Jones. Like Denzel Burke, who keeps it so real, who really doesn't want to give anybody that much over the top hype and praise, right, called him Julio Jones. And I'm over here like, I tried to slow down, but screw it. I'm in too. Let's get this thing moving downhill even faster. So I've run out of things to say about Jeremiah because I think he legitimately is already a 4.4 guy. I think he has a 39-inch vertical already. I think he is all of 6.4. He looks the part. He loves to block. I mean, he's been the chosen one down there in Miami since he was in the 8th grade. I don't know. If that kid busts, I just don't know what to even look for anymore with wide receivers. Like, he looks like a receiver built in a lab, a creator receiver. He looks like your prototypical Julio Jones. I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just wild to think about.
And I think what's going to jump out early, I think early in the year, Ohio State fans are going to get a real refreshing view of what a mean, nasty blocking receiver looks like. He did everything down there in Florida, including blocking guys 10, 15 yards out of bounds. He's got that extra nastiness to him. I'm excited for that highlight just as much as I'm excited for the long bomb that I think he's going to catch week one against Akron.
Yeah. Okay. So here's when I knew it was real with him. Spring game. They're getting ready to throw to his way in the corner of the end zone, and Ryan Day looks over at Joel Klatt into the camera and goes, "Watch this." I was like, "Oh, dude!" Like, when your head coach says that, it's like, "Okay, all right, it's the hype's real, right?"
I mean, in that open practice, like the one that we had in the spring, it felt like every highlight was him. Like every highlight, like every big play, like going over the top on Denzel Burke, like catching balls between him and Caleb Downs, like in the corner, like it's all him. I mean, he is at the very minimum, the red zone fade ball 70-30, right? It's not a 50-50 ball with him. It's 70-30. Mm. That's what we're talking about right now. I just can't explain it. I'm glad that when I was playing high school sports, I didn't run into one of those because I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is.
Well, do you remember Brandon Joe?
I don't.
Full back from Ohio State, late early 2000s, played for Westerville South.
Okay.
And okay, so he was a trestle guy, and I played him in high school, right? And he played all three sports, football, basketball, and baseball.
Oh, yeah,
and three sports. The scaredest he ever made me was when he was pitching, and he had no control.
Fullback pitching with no control?
Oh yeah.
I'm not stepping in the box. Yeah. I'm not swinging in nothing.
I was bailing, Chris. Mm-hmm. I was like, no. I'd rather him run me over than throw a baseball at me. I'm like, this is not right. That's kind of what I envisioned when you said that. I had flashbacks of PTSD of being in high school playing Brandon Joe. So here's where I'm at with this team on the other side of the ball. Or with more acquisition, I should say. So a couple years ago, I had this epiphany that there would be a day when Chip Kelly would come to Ohio State, since he was Ryan Day's mentor, and be like, you know what, I'm gonna live out the rest of my tenure as a coach kind of sitting up here and in the box and just kind of help you out, Ryan, because I think people don't realize how important Kevin Wilson was to Ryan Day as a play caller.
I agree.
His eyes in the sky, up in the box, speaking the same language. They were playing chess. Most defensive coordinators were playing checkers. And when he went to Tulsa, I think that more than anything affected Ryan Day as a play caller. Chip, he has his trust, obviously. And when we hired, what's his name, and went to Boston College? And
Bill O'Brien.
I was kind of disappointed because I was like, man, I want Chip. And then it happened for me, and I was like, this is great. I don't think people realize how positive of a move that was for Ryan Day's psyche, for him as a man and as a coach, as a developer of talent, as a CEO to the program. And I recall last year during the interviews when they went down to Texas, and he's sitting literally feet away from the head coach of Missouri, and the question got asked, explain the success of your program, and he says, I was wearing too many hats, and I was doing a disservice to my team, and I had to realize I couldn't be play caller, I couldn't be offensive coordinator, couldn't be quarterback coach and the head coach. I couldn't do those things. I had to trust the guys I hired. And I'm thinking he's giving free advice to Ryan Day right now.
Yeah, I thought that answer from Drink was so perfect. Yeah. I remember that so vividly. Like, talked about, like, it does a disservice to this team. It does a disservice to myself to wear too many hats, to be spread that thin, because – I need to trust the people I hire, because that's why I hired them, to trust them. So no, that's I think about that thing all the time. Like, yeah. that was a moment, right, where if you're not having the light bulb moment for if you're Ryan Day, you'll never have it. I thought us playing Missouri in that bowl game was important for the growth of Ryan Day to hear Drink talk, because Drink gets it, man. He really gets it.
Yeah, I think they make the playoffs this year.
You do. Ooh, I like that's a great take. That's probably what a top five quarterback receiver duo in all football.
Yeah. The schedule lines up for them.
They likely have a top eight defense, I think. Top 10 defense. I mean, they're gonna be really good on defense. I don't know what their offensive line is, but I can get behind that. I wonder how they're gonna replace that running back. But Coach Drink, they're a sneaky good team. I'm glad you floated that out there. It gives me a lot to think about. But in terms of like Ryan Day, back to Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and Kevin Wilson, you're right. I think after Kevin Wilson left, Ryan Day didn't have anybody on that staff who could have a differing opinion from him in terms of offensive play call or offensive approach that he trusted. And I think now he does. And I think that contributes to why he called games so tight last year. I think those eyes in the skies that he trusts matter, like you said. And I love Kevin. I think Kevin Wilson's great. So I'm glad that we've got like a new Kevin Wilson in there and Chip Kelly, who I think is outstanding.
Yeah. So one of the concerns my co-host Chris has is that Ryan won't be able to push back against Chip. What do you think about that dynamic?
That
went
from
mentor to boss, you know?
I mean, if he can't really push back against Chip, that might be a good thing. Like, go breathe fire down a different unit's back. Go breathe fire down the offensive lineman's back. Like, if you want to push back against Chip and the offense is working, I don't like that. Like, if Chip's cooking, let him do his thing. Like, you don't have to be a part of the kitchen. We know you're a great offensive mind. We get it. That doesn't really concern me. My biggest concern is I don't want them to both get so wrapped up in offensive play calling that they ignore other issues on the team. And I think that's one of the things that happened in previous years.
Such as?
Hmm?
Such as what other issues?
Position. So, I'm a firm believer that Ryan Day's approach to calling plays and getting so wrapped up into that world is kind of why some of the wide receiver blocking gets excused. It's like, I'm just going to play. I'm going to call plays. I'm going to lock into that zone. My job is to make sure the offense moves. And it's like, yeah, it is. Like, when you wear that hat, it takes away from you as the developer of other coaches. And I love Brian Hartline, the coach, but he needs developed because those guys got to block outside. Same with the offensive line early in the year. I think, like, you're so wrapped up in play calling that maybe you're not holding those guys to the same standard as you should. I think in previous years, I think we excused the defense for being so bad because Ryan Day's number one thing was, well, let me call the offense and I got to wear that hat. Like, you simply can't be the head coach and the OC. And that's why we have never seen a head coach OC in the playoff era win a natty. It hasn't been done yet, because when those guys get so wrapped up in that world, it takes hours away from developing other units. So my thing is this. Let Chip develop the offensive side of the ball the same way you let Knowles develop the defense side of the ball, and pick your spots to make sure that this is a well-oiled machine. I don't want you wrapped up in offensive play calling all like that if they're cooking. Now, if they're not, then yeah, go get in there. Go fix it. But if they're cooking and things are moving well, and I've talked to a couple players that have said during scrimmages, Chip has been in his absolute bag and done a great job, I don't necessarily want you pushing back against Chip unless you see a glaring issue.
Interesting. That's good. Good take. All right, let's flip to the other side of the ball. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to tell me if I'm right, wrong, or if you'd like to add to it. Here's my comment. The Ohio State defense will be number one in the nation if the linebackers reach their potential.
Agree. Strongly agree. Strongly agree. I think the the threats to be number one defense in the country are Georgia, Penn State, Michigan, Oregon, and there's one more in there that I'm forgetting. But I absolutely think that they could be the number – oh, no, Notre Dame. I think they could absolutely be the number one defense in the country. I think they could be it even if the linebackers reach a step below their potential. I think the number one defense in the country. So I agree, strongly agree.
Cool. And you got a lot of five-star talent there that's just waiting to be maximized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And gosh, the news coming out of camp about like Arvel Reese and Gabe Powers and these guys who are just chomping at the bit to have an opportunity. And I love what I hear, you know, from Little Animal.
Yeah.
When it comes to rotating and putting the guy in who's
you got
to
show me though, Eric. You got to show me, dang
it. I know. That's what I'm about ready to say. I'll believe it when I see it.
Man, because we heard this rotating thing every single year. Jim Knowles last year told us, we can't wait to unleash CJ. I need to do a better job getting you guys ready for the end of the year. Then we didn't see anybody. But I laid eyes on Arvel Reese. I've always known that Arvel was going to be really special. People don't realize he got to Ohio State at 17 years old, like Sonny Styles, but it wasn't a reclass just because he started school early. He's got to play, man. He's now been an MVP of a scrimmage, you know, Silver Bullet of the day X amount of times. Like, he gets it. He picks it up. He has to play, and especially with the long season, you want to rotate guys and get guys work, and it helps keep guys healthy. Like, Lathan Ransom played too much last year, got hurt. We had to see Malik Harford one play against Michigan. We know what happened, but I think linebacker-wise, they're going to rotate. They have to because they're too good, and they're good with upperclassmen that are waiting in the wings as well. And I think that's important. TJ Hicks, year three, junior. Arvel Reese, year two, but done everything right. I think he's passed Gabe Powers. Gabe Powers, I mean, there was talk last year that he was a guy that could really cover sideline to sideline and really earned playing time. It just didn't come. So they got to rotate those guys. There's no way you don't rotate those guys. And I think James Arnaitis is the guy that maybe will get it because he wasn't an NFL coach and didn't spend a lot of time, you know, there. And I think that's kind of one of the things NFL coaches do. They don't rotate. They personnel match. Don't rotate.
I have to pick my defensive MVP and offensive MVP tomorrow night when we do our roundtable. Who should I pick?
I think Sonny Styles. It's going to be my defensive MVP.
Whoa.
That's what I would pick. That's what I would pick if I were you. I just think he's too versatile, and I think he's going to be a part of almost every play. Like, he's going to be such an impact in the passing game and the run game, playing up near the line of scrimmage. I think he could have a Pete Warner-esque season, if not even better. And I thought Pete had a ridiculous year his last year here. And then offense.
You're going to say Will Howard, aren't you?
I think Judkins, but but I don't know.
Is he going to get enough carries?
That's my thing. I mean, I know they love him, and I know that they want to throw him the football. He's gotten a lot of work at slot. For those who are interested in that, they do plan on giving him a lot of touches, throwing, like, catching the ball per his request. And part of why he came here is because of how Bill O'Brien used Jahmyr Gibbs, and so when Chip Kelly came in, that was one of the talks that they all had. Like, hey, like, I still want to catch the ball. And they're like, absolutely. So I know he's put a lot of work in route running wise. So
interesting.
I'll probably go Sonny Styles and Quinshon Judkins, I think, as my MVPs.
Those are two guys I weren't considering, to be honest with you. So now
I got to reevaluate. Add them to the table.
I got to reevaluate, man. When Chris brings that up, I'm like, oh. Okay. Which means if JR's talked to you, that's probably JR's going to be coming out. And when he does, I'm like, I know where you got that from.
Yeah.
Very fun. Okay. Jack Sawyer, best chance to have a Chase Young type of season. Is that our guy? I think it's going to be interesting to watch how statistics get spread out because I don't think these guys are going to play as much as they have in the past, but yet at the same time, they're going to because of the length of the season now. So statistics are going to add up. Does he get double digit sacks?
So I have Jack at exactly at 10 sacks this year.
Okay. All right.
Exactly at 10. I think what we saw last year in the Missouri game, him lining up a little bit wider and wreaking havoc. I was like, oh my gosh, there he is. Like, that's who we were getting. Do you remember his true freshman spring game? He 4 sacks. Like, oh yeah, like that's the one. I think this year, if you evaluate that, you're Jim Knowles, you're Larry Johnson, you're Ryan Day, you look and like we lined him up a little bit further outside, let him get a little wider. He wreaked absolute havoc and didn't give up anything in the run game as well. I think Jack Sawyer is a double-digit sack guy this year, and I would I would sprinkle a little money on that if that was available.
All right. Here's another fun question, and we'll get off the roster. Give me a percentage in your mind of there being some point in the season where the starting quarterback will not be Will Howard.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
40%.
Oh, you're almost up to 50. Okay.
40%.
And in your mind, did you go to injury or did you go to something else first as to why you can't pick that number?
I went to something else first.
Okay. All right. Interesting. I've been telling people if we get behind and the game's on the line, there was a guy in Tuscaloosa, Alabama who wasn't afraid to go to a freshman.
Yeah. There was a guy there. I mean, shoot, not just there. There was a guy down there at Clemson, same thing. Oh, Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence.
That's true. Okay. All right. Interesting. Quarterback battle next year is going to be unbelievable, isn't it?
It's going to be special, man. It's going to be really special.
Yeah. And can I be honest with you? I'm kind of pulling for Aaron Nolan.
I recently
the guy who committed first
wanted to be a Buckeye
has stuck it out, has been through, you know, the transition in his life. Nothing against Julian, nothing against Tavian.
Yeah,
just there's something about that kid who was in the stall first, that horse that was in the stall first, and is like, okay, like rooting bets, right? Rooting interest. Anyways, okay, let's move on to kind of like the over-unders for this team, or the ceiling and floor. The schedule, it's not the hardest one in the conference. I think if you look at like Purdue or Wisconsin, you're like, oh my gosh, you look at the records at the end of the year, and you're going to say, how did that team look that bad? I'm afraid for those teams because of the schedule. Then you look at teams at like Rutgers and Iowa, and you go, they're not as good as what they're going to be, their record. Like, there's a chance Rutgers makes the college football playoff.
Eric, I don't want to sound too conceited. I feel like that train that's taken off about Rutgers potentially making the playoffs, I feel like that started with me. And it's because I did a breakdown in the middle of the summer randomly, and there's this guy Jordan on the Menace Sports side of it, and we were going through all the teams. And in my dark summer like session, I was looking at their schedule, and two of the top three easiest schedules in all college football are Rutgers and Syracuse. And Rutgers returned so much production, and they didn't draw any of the big dogs in the Big Ten.
None.
They drew none of them.
And USC's their biggest game.
Exactly.
USC and Nebraska.
And they drew some big guns, big dogs last year, and they made the playoffs and beat a Miami team.
Right.
And so I have a parlay. It's like $10. We do $7,000. Rutgers and Syracuse making the playoffs because they're the two easy schedules. And it's like, just in case, $10, I'll just like not go to Starbucks one time this week. And like that'll be my Syracuse and Rutgers bet money. And then like months later, I started seeing more and more people talk about it. And I continue to talk about it every time I get a chance. I love the idea of Rutgers making the playoffs in year one. I think that'd be so perfect.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick them, but it also wouldn't surprise me because no big dogs. And I think 10-2 in the Big Ten, I think 10-2 gets you a coin flip in or not.
Yeah, okay. You're bringing up the argument we've had. Here's my argument. So I think Oregon and Ohio State are both going to be 11-1 to go into the playoffs. And I think Ohio State loses in Eugene, and I'm probably going to be wrong about that, but loses in Eugene. We beat them at Indy, and Oregon's going to be sixth, and Ohio State's going to be 2.
Okay.
And then I have the third team from the Big Ten, because I only have 3 from the Big Ten getting in. I have Rutgers at 10-2. But here's the argument. If Rutgers is at 10-2, and Michigan is at 9-3, and their 3 losses are Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State, who does the committee take? Keep in mind, Ward Manuel is the head of the CFP.
I don't know.
That's tough, ain't it?
That is
bait.
You dropped me into like one of those, like I need like a chalkboard like to write down. Like
I see formulas floating around your head. And then you got this big blob of the formula that says Ward Manuel. And you're like, oh no.
The Ward theory. I'm over here. I don't know. I don't know. Quadratic equation. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not going to be on that committee making that call, man.
Right? Oh, it's nuts. Okay. All right. That's fun. That's fun to talk to. I always love that stuff. All right. I think SEC gets 5 teams in first year.
Okay. 5 teams.
Mm-hmm. I got Ole Miss, Bama, Georgia, Missouri, and Texas.
Got it. Missouri last year was 10-2, and they were a top 12 team in the country, for those who are wondering.
Yep. There you go. And so that's what I think is going to – I think you get one from the Big 12. I got Kansas State surprising everybody.
Oh, CSU. Okay. I like Utah, and I like Kansas.
See, I think a lot of people like Utah. I think Kansas State's flying under the radar.
They are. I like Avery Johnson a lot. I think he's going to be a real good player. But I think I like Kansas – better than them this year. I think Kansas has a top 5 running back quarterback duo probably in the country. Maybe top 10. Jalen Daniels and Neo, I think, are really special. And I just wonder how losing their OC is going to look on the field.
Yep. How about this one? Miami winning the ACC. Florida State doesn't even make the CFP.
Ooh, well, I'm a Georgia Tech fan, so I hope my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets get one done today.
They might.
Yeah.
And then here's the other one. The fifth seed is going to be Notre Dame, who's going to be 12-0.
Yeah, because they can't be a top 4 seed.
Right.
You got Notre Dame 12-0.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. Do you like that OC they got from LSU?
Mm-hmm. I think Notre Dame – schedule is not as tough this year, nearly as tough. Like I think honestly, their toughest game is going to be the opening game against at Texas A&M.
And yeah, I think they're dogs in that game
by 3 points. Yeah, and keep in mind that this is a new coach for Texas A&M, new program, first time there, etc. I think Florida State's going to be a little bit overrated this year. So I think, and they get them at home. Plus, when they play at USC this year at the end of the season, USC is going to be absolutely dog tired and beat up from travel and playing in the Big Ten.
Oh my goodness, they're absolutely making the playoffs. This is a 12-0. I mean, if you're going to go 12-0, this is 12-0, right?
It lines up for them, and I think all the pressure that they're feeling, Marcus Freeman goes in there. If all depends on that first game, they beat A&M. I think momentum takes them to 12-0.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's A&M, and then you're not in danger against Northern Illinois. You're not in danger against Purdue. You're not in danger against Miami. Louisville's an interesting one because they're always, like, the jack-in-the-box team.
But they got them at
potential.
Home.
Stanford, Tech, Navy, FSU. We'll see what they're going to be today. Virginia Army. Yeah, that's absolutely – that is – I mean, and Al Golden has had Lincoln Riley's number. We know that. Mm-hmm. Like that. Like mm-hmm. He's got his number on speed dial because he be beating him down.
Okay, so here, think about this. They go 12-0, so they get the home game against whoever, you know, from the G5. And then in the next bowl game, they get the number four seed, which could possibly theoretically be a 9-3 Big 12 champion Kansas State.
That would be wild. And then all of a sudden you're looking at an easy path to the championship.
You're looking at getting to the Final Four
from
there and playing, you know, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, someone like that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. There you go. So Notre Dame might actually be sitting pretty for here. All right.
Yeah,
enough with my
sitting really pretty. I'm like over here thinking about my futures bet slips. I might need one for Notre Dame.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right. Let's go to our schedule now. Outside of Eugene, going to Eugene, you know, here are some interesting things. I think Nebraska comes into that game against Ohio State undefeated.
So do I.
So that could be but I think it's a fool's gold type of big noon kickoff, huge game. You know, Nebraska ends up being somewhere around 9-3, 8-4 when it's all said and done.
I call that a glass cannon undefeated. Like, it's a glass cannon. One pebble hits it, the whole thing shatters, and no one's surprised. Like, we knew you were a glass cannon.
A.K.A. Maryland last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's that. At Penn State, which is going to be a nooner, which I hate. Can we go back to being a whiteout and a blackout when we play them? Like, come on, guys.
I wish.
Oh, it is a disservice to all of college football that game's at noon, in my opinion.
It just takes away from the lure of Penn State, from the lure of, as college football fans, like, turning on a whiteout in a huge game. Like, I don't know, like, growing up, like, that was – that whiteout Ohio State game was a game that – because here's the thing. I'm 27, Eric. So
– you're a pup.
My whole life – we were beating up on Michigan. So for me, like, the game that gave me chills, the game that got me excited was that whiteout Penn State game. And I hate kind of that it's gone away because of the way TV deals have gone. And it's like, dang, greed ruins another, like, really cool thing from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's – and you talk to all the old-timers when Penn State joined in the mid-90s, from the mid-90s till, you know, up until they had the scandal. That was a massive game. I still have – I have memories of seeing Joe Paul and Cooper and Joe Paul and Jim Tressel still. Jim Tressel was a younger coach when Joe Paul was on his way out. Like,
that's crazy.
It's wild to think about. That was not that long ago. Oh my gosh, you know. And
I love Jim, man. Maybe not for this show, but I could talk for years about Jim. I love Jim so much.
Oh yeah, trust me. Jim Tressel is my icon, okay? So I every now and then I'll show up with a sweater vest on Sunday night for a roundtable.
Heck yeah.
All right. So, and then, of course, the big one, but we get them at home at the end of the season. I think the ceiling is 12-0. I think the floor is 10-2.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I can get behind that. I think the only concerning thing if you're Ohio State is, and I do talk about the Nebraska game a little bit, it's that four game stretch is a little daunting. Iowa, Oregon, Nebraska, Penn State, in terms of, like, getting beat up a little bit physically, but Ohio State is a really deep team. Those will be the 4 weeks where we will see, I think, what would be the playoff rotation. Like, if you want a look ahead to see what Ohio State will play in the playoffs, that four-game stretch is it. And that's going from October 5th to November 2nd. That's the stretch, because those are four pretty decent opponents. I think Nebraska will be undefeated in that game. Glass Cannon, of course. But Penn State, physical team. Oregon, we know what Dan Lanning has. And then, obviously, Iowa is always really good defensively and always a little bit of a unique puzzle to solve. That'll be the rotation you'll see in the postseason. But no, 10-2 would be a massive failure, but I think that's probably the likely floor. You should be a 12-0 team, though, with this roster.
Yep, I agree with you completely. Most annoying coach in the Big Ten is who? I love just throwing these random things at you to pick your brain.
Probably PJ Fleck.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a Fleck guy.
You don't like guys who wear loafers without socks?
No loafers without socks, and stop trying to sell me that used car. I don't want it.
He is a Tressel guy, though. That's the thing. One redeeming value of him is, like, he's a Tressel guy.
I think maybe that's what bugs me, because he's like fake Tressel to me.
Ooh, fake yeah. Tressel. Like
here's the thing. In my mind, no one could ever be Jim Tressel. So.
Right. So don't even try, right?
Yeah, don't even try. I don't know. Maybe okay. I don't know. Who else do I find really annoying in the Big Ten?
Should it bother me that I can't stand Kirk Ferentz?
You
should have more honor for your elderly than what I do.
Like, Kirk got some points with me, man, when he went up there and owned his actions.
He did own it.
He did own it. I think the story, I don't know if you saw it, Eric. I think the story about the Fleck coins bugs me about PJ Fleck. That's the one that bugs me.
What about Dan Lanning? Do you think he's going to get there? He's starting to.
Dude, the thing is, this is just me. No one can ever turn me against Dan Lanning. I love Dan Lanning to death. Sometimes it bugs, like the whole like that team out west thing bugs me. But I just like look at Dan and I'm like, Dan, dog, like you're everything I want in a head coach because you're hyper aggressive, you're relatable to the kids, and it feels like you say what you mean. You mean what you say. So I'm a Lanning guy. Now I do think he's overrated, but no one can ever get me to dislike Dan Lanning except for Dan Lanning.
Okay. First coach in the Big Ten to not have a job this season will be who? Because he either fired or leaves.
Ooh. I don't know. Goodness, I'm trying to think about whose seat is even hot. I mean, I don't even know. I feel like in the Big Ten we don't even fire coaches. We just let everybody.
Well, the betting line is actually on Ryan Day.
I know it's 12-1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's the 12-1 first coach because fired? Yeah, first coach fired 12-1. I don't know what his
What about?
I don't think it'll be Ryan.
Sherrone Moore because he actually gets show calls.
I could see that one. That was where I thought about going.
Okay, I wondered if you might. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I thought about going there, but I just don't know. That's probably where I would go. I'd either go Sherrone Moore. But other than him, who do you think's on the hot seat?
I could see, and some of this you have to be careful of because of buyouts too. So
right, that's kind of where I'm at too.
I think my bet where I'm leaning towards right now is actually Lincoln Riley because I think he goes to the NFL.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that, you know, taking the Cliff Kingsbury route. Like, I don't know how to do the defense thing. Let me go to the NFL and get NFL defenders.
Gets another, 8-4, 7-5 season. Mm-hmm. Sees the writing on the wall. NFL job opens up, and he's like, dude, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the place that has expectations, and that I don't think it's going to win a lot this year is USC. Because, I mean, if you look around the Big Ten, like, Luke Fickell's not on the hot seat. Neither is Jed Fish. UCLA, first-year coach. I think that Rutgers make the playoffs. Purdue, they're not moving on from their coach. I mean, if Penn State has a bad year, you'd think that they might entertain it, but I can't see them actually doing it.
The thing is they're in a really weird spot where they're like in the friend zone.
Yeah.
They're like 10-2, 9-3, and it's just good enough. And yet they're not.
It's like you're not husband material, but you know, we like dating you. Yeah. I only think that Penn State will fire their coach whenever Matt Rule is ready to leave Nebraska.
See, and when I interviewed the Penn State guys, that was the name they brought up. And Nebraska would literally I think Nebraska would pay whatever it took to keep him there.
They'd pay whatever it took. And they've already given him so much resources to do things in the facility. Like, they've already poured out resources for him, and I don't think he'll leave as long as Dylan Raiola is there too.
Nebraska is a sleeping giant.
They absolutely are a sleeping giant. They're a sleeping giant, and I feel like Matt Rule has smelling salts that he's trying to climb up the beanstalk and give to that giant. So
that's a great analogy. Instead of a beanstalk, can we make it a giant cornstalk?
Yeah, there you go. Giant cornstalk. Matt Rule is climbing up it. He's got a Dylan Raiola and a smelling salt, and he's trying to wake that giant up.
Could you imagine the momentum they would have in recruiting if David Sanders would have went there?
It would have been outrageous. That would have been like, oh shoot, like they're really back. And when
would have been a back moment. Yeah.
I keep telling people my age, like, Nebraska used to be real crazy, dog. Like, they used to be real crazy, and they've got a real passionate fan base that's really invested in their success. And now that you could pay kids, like, they've got the tools, they've got the NIL, they've got the obsession. Like, again, like, Don't let Matt Rule get up that corn stalk, because that could be a real issue for a lot of
Nebraska for a while was the Alabama of our of this past generation. Like no, they were absolutely. They were that good. They just weren't as annoying and less intelligent.
Well, because they didn't have that many cell phones out there, so we never heard from them.
Midwest nice. I actually love nice. Nebraska fans. I love them.
Me
they
too.
They are the nicest people. Like.
And they don't say anything mean. All they say is go big red, 10-2. And I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, go big red.
All right, man. All right. So let me end it with this. This has been a lot of fun, dude. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on here and spending we're almost an hour already. This is crazy. This season, dude, what are some things? Some little things, maybe you and Zach. I know you and Zach really get into the weeds, and Zach's great at breaking down film and the nuance of the game. What are some things Ohio State fans should be watching that no one's talking about right now? Some things that, hey, keep your eye on this. Keep your, you know, watch this, or you might be hearing this in the future. What are some things, some nuggets that we can kind of cling on to as we get ready to start this season here in a week?
Keep an eye on Will Howard's ability to step up in the pocket. See if he's willing to and see if he does, because if he's able to step up in the pocket, willing to, like he did show at Kansas State, I really do think that you could see our offensive line be right a lot more than they were previously. And keep an eye on the tight ends blocking in the run game in particular. So those are the two things I would really, really watch. Just keep an eye on where Will Howard throws the football. And think about how far back Kyle McCord was a lot of last year, making 10-yard throws, 15-yard throws. Just watch where Will Howard releases the football. That would be my thing to really get into the weeds and watch.
Okay. How many different ball carriers could we possibly see in one game in a Chip Kelly? This is what I've been telling people. Like, go back and watch just some of the crazy times, things he did at Oregon and UCLA. Like, we could see upwards of a game where there's 10 different guys who get a carry. And people are like, no way. And I'm like, serious. It could happen.
Like, I think week one, you get six guys carrying the football.
Okay.
Then you get Q, Will, Trey, Emeka, Brandon Ennis, and then Peoples.
Okay. Well, I'll make it seven then, because you're going to get a backup quarterback in the fourth quarter.
You're right. Devin Brown will run. That's seven. Yeah. And then I wouldn't be surprised if they hand one off on a little tight end sweep. So make it eight.
Okay. See, that's why. See, like, that is just that alone is the wrinkle to the offense Ryan Day has never had.
He's never crossed that bridge because he was in the NFL, and that's where he got it. Like, it's a lot of NFL roots right now from him. But Chip Kelly's been here. He gets it.
Yeah. Dude, Chris, tell everybody about Menace Sports. They all know what Menace Sports is. I know they do. But
if you want to find me, you know where to find me every day at noon on Menace Sports on the YouTube channel. That's it, dog. I don't need a long where to find me. You guys know where to find me.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for coming on, man. I really do appreciate it. Let's have a great season, my man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Look forward to coming.
And welcome back to OHO Podcast. We want to thank Chris Drew from Menace Sports for joining us for that interview. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Leave a comment in the comment section below. Let Chris know how much you appreciate him. And we had a great time, and I look forward to bringing him back on and doing that again. All right, Chris, let's have some fun by going over to our lads and taking a look at their predictions of our roster, shall we? This ought to be a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and move that over so that you all can see that on your screen now. Okay, let's start with the quarterback position. Will Howard was named the starter, the grad transfer from Kansas State. They've got Quinshon Judkins as running back number one and Travion Henderson as running back number two. However, we all know they're both starters. And if I was running the Our Lad site, Chris, I would flip-flop those. I think Travion Henderson's going to get the majority of starts here, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Starts. They're both starters. The tight end position is incredibly interesting. They've got G. Scott Jr. I could see any four of these guys they have here getting playing time. I really can, including Patrick Gird, who is a glorified fullback who can do tight end things. Will Case Merrick, a lot of people think he's a blocking tight end. Not so much. He's actually more of a catching tight end. Jelani Thurman, I think, is the big name here, who was brought in to be a big name. We'll see if he can crack that starting lineup and kind of be who we all thought he was going to be by this time. And of course, G. Scott Jr. is the grad senior, he's already graduated. He's sticking around for another year. I'm really rooting for him to get his comeuppance. All right, wide receiver position. Emeka Egbuka is going to be in the slot. We all know that. Cardale Tate is wide receiver number two, and then you got true freshman Jeremiah Smith at the X. Yeah, that's a real thing. That is absolutely, like you heard Chris and I talk about, that train left the station a long time ago. You might as well jump on while you can now. And then don't forget about Brandon Ennis. He's going to get a lot of playing time as well. And don't sleep on true freshman Mylon Graham. Even though he was not here early, he waited till June to get here. He had waited to graduate high school first. Young man doing some big things this fall. And, of course, you got Jaden Ballard as well, who, you know, at this point it's do or die for him, as well as Kojo Antwi and Bryson Rogers. At the offensive line, Josh Simmons is your starting left tackle. Donovan Jackson, left starting guard. That does not change. They bring in grad transfer Seth McLaughlin as your starting center. Carson Hinsman, who started last year, they've kicked down the right guard. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tegra Shibola gets the first start based off of what they're talking about there, a lot of the coaches. And, of course, Josh Fryer returns at right tackle. He's a redshirt senior. He actually could come back for another year if he wanted to because of the COVID year. That is your starting lineup for the offense. Chris, what are your thoughts about the starting lineup for Ohio State?
I'll tell you what, Eric. It's as simple. If that offensive line comes out and performs, this is an elite explosive offense. Will Howard, natural leader. You know, he can throw the ball. He can extend plays. He can run the ball if he needs to. He'll just do anything he can to win. The wide receiver room is always since Brian Hartline has been here, just amazing. I love the situation we got at tight end. I think of Jelani Thurman, like you mentioned, he's really the guy that's the most complete tight end if he can put it all together on the field. He's got the size, the speed, the strength. He's that guy they want to get out there. I hope they can, but I'm also with you in the fact that I want to see G. Scott Jr. really get his opportunity. And the running back combination, 1 and 1A, I love that, but, I'm not going to lie. I've got some concerns on depth should somebody get injured. I think the true freshman and Peoples will step in there and be okay. But, I'm not going to say that I don't have any concern because I do a little bit on the depth at running back. Other than that, this offense simply comes down to simply the offensive line. If they do their job, this team is going to put up 45 to 50 points a game.
There's no reason why Ryan Day shouldn't be rotating early and often at a lot of these positions. Especially
yes, a lot of these young men should get experience.
And I think the same thing to be said of the defense. Speaking of the defense, let's flip over to that side of the ball and take a look at what we got. Starting up front, Jack Sawyer, JT Tumulau all decide to come back for their senior year. They are your bookend defensive ends. And then up the middle, Ty Hamilton, Tyleek Williams. All four of these guys really could have been drafted in the NFL last year. They're going to run at least 8 deep up front. Hero Kanu is a name that a lot of people have been talking about. And then Caden McDonald. And then on the outside, Kenyatta Jackson Jr., who's a freak, and Caden Curry. And let's not forget senior Mitchell Melton, who plays the cowboy position or the stand-up defensive end hybrid linebacker. Tywon Malone Jr. is another name that kind of gets lost in the sauce. And then true freshman Edric Houston is a name people should be on the lookout to getting some playing time, not only at end of games, but might be able someone who kind of makes an impact later in the season. At the linebacker position, you've got Cody Simon. He is the Block O recipient this year. He's going to be heading the middle of that linebacker core, the middle of the defense. Sonny Styles will be flanking him to one side. C.J. Hicks will be flanking him to the other when they go three. I think Sonny Styles has kind of won the weak side linebacker position. Do not sleep on Arvell Reese getting playing time. The dude has really made a huge impact this season. He is built like an absolute tank and is very, very physical and extremely athletic for his size. he's someone they're going to want to get on the field. At corner, you got Denzel Burke and Davison Igbinosin. Both of them were starters last year. For Burke, this is his fourth year starting at the cornerback position. And then at the slot, you got Jordan Hancock. Safety, Caleb Downs comes over from Alabama. He led the Crimson Tide in tackles last year as a true freshman. He'll be manning the center field for the defense. And then Lathan Ransom, who's a tackling machine, is back and healthy. Other names to keep an eye on, Jermaine Matthews Jr., who actually started at cornerback last year for the injured Denzel Burke for a game or two, is someone you need to be on the lookout for. Malik Hartford at the safety position has had playing time. Aaron Scott Jr. was a big-time recruit who's coming in as for his freshman year, along with Bryce West. Lorenzo Styles Jr. has been had a really good camp as well. That is Sonny's older brother, the son of legendary linebacker Lorenzo Styles Sr. We'll see if he can get on the field. Jaden Bonsu and Calvin Simpson-Hunt both played last year as freshmen at times. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't see the field as well. This is a talented and extremely deep defense, and dare I say, best in the country.
Oh, I don't think there's any question it's the best in the country right now. I'm going to tell you, Eric, our second team defense is a top 10 defense in the country. Our second team is a top 10 defense in the country.
It's really good.
I mean, this is, without a doubt, the most stacked team Ohio State has ever had. I mean, if you look at the depth, come on, Edric Houston is the third guy off the bench at that end position, man. And the guy's a beast.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the freshman corners that came in.
Yeah.
Those guys are amazing.
Yeah.
You got just so much talent, so much depth. And I'm telling you, you know, it used to be like you would get through Jack Sawyer and JT and think, oh, okay, well, I got to play off. No, because here comes Kenyatta Jackson, and he's going to tear you out of your boots. I'm telling you, the team is stacked. There is, I'm going to set the expectation now, nothing short of a national title is acceptable. Cut and dry.
All right. So, that being said, let's take a look at the schedule and give you our predictions. All right, 2024 schedule starts with the Akron Zips this upcoming Saturday in the Shoe, followed by another MAC school in Western Michigan. I remember the last time they came, one P.J. Fleck was the head coach of the Broncos. They have a bye week, and then the Marshall Thundering Herd come to town. Marshall defeated Notre Dame a couple years ago, so don't sleep on them.
Don't look for that to happen again.
They go on the road for the first time when they go up to East Lansing to take on Michigan State before coming back home and playing the Hawkeyes of Iowa. And then the big one on October 12th, they go out west to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks. Second bye takes place on October 19th, and then they have Nebraska at home. They go to Penn State, Purdue at home, at Northwestern, in Chicago at Wrigley Field, Indiana at home, and then the rematch with the team up north at home on November 30th. Vegas says 10.5 is the money line. Chris, you say take the over. You got them at 12-0 this season, 9-0 overall. JR agrees with you. I have them 11-1, 8-1 in the Big Ten. And if you're wondering, I do think the one loss that kind of worries me is in Eugene, Oregon on October 12th against the Ducks. But don't worry, Buckeye fans. I believe Ohio State is going to play them again in Indianapolis and going to beat them. And then I also believe there's a very good chance both teams play again in the college football playoff.
There's nothing better than the opportunity to go duck hunting three times in one season.
Okay. Okay.
I love it. I love it.
Make sure you have that scarlet and gray camo ready, my man.
Absolutely.
So this is where we're at, Chris. We have beat this horse to death this offseason. You say expectations, it's natty or bust. I say just get there. Let's just get there and see what happens. A lot of things could happen between now and then. There's depth. There's talent coming out of every orifice available. The coaching staff has been upgraded. I really think everything is in place for Ohio State to make a magical run. Let's do it.
It has to be done. It has to be. It's that simple. There is no excuses this year. None. They have got too much talent, both on the field, on the sideline, in the locker room. Too much talent. They've went out and they've opened the checkbook. They've kept guys. They've signed guys. Everything that Ryan Day could possibly ask for has been given to him at this point. There is no excuse. It is natty or bust. It's that simple.
This is the first of many opportunities to connect with us this week. Of course, we have the preview tonight, and then Mello and Devin do their first ever live show tomorrow night. I believe that's at 8:15. So make sure you like and you hit the subscribe and you hit the bell so you get notified when they go live tomorrow night. Wednesday, we will have our Akron preview. Thursday, we do the live call-in show. Friday, for a first time ever, a John Kennedy special. It's going to be Buckeyes After Dark. So the OHIO podcast After Dark. It's going to get crazy, a little bit wild Friday night. And then Saturday, we're going to do the watch party. And we're going to do the call-in show right after the game's over. And then the following Sunday, we'll do our roundtable. And so every night this week, you can connect with the OHIO podcast. Get yourself ready for what is an awesome week of Ohio State football. Also, Eddie George gets honored Friday with the statue unveiling. That's going to be great.
Archie,
who did I say?
Eddie.
Eddie needs one too.
Eddie needs one too. Give Eddie a statue as well. But
Archie Griffin gets his statue revealed Friday, and then Eddie needs one. And let's get Troy Smith and Hopalong Cassidy and all. How about every Heisman Trophy winner should have a statue outside of the rotunda between St. John's and
You know what? I wouldn't mind that at all. But they did it right. They're starting with the right one.
Yeah.
Hats off to our new AD
Ross Bjork. You know, yes.
Ross Bjork has really taken the reins, and I'll tell you, this guy is doing everything right to really address what the fans want. From the first move, and he may not officially been in the position, but the first move with Diebler right up through this honoring of Archie, he's doing everything to really get the fans, you know, give them what they want. And now, Ryan Day, I'm calling you out, buddy. You've got to do the same thing.
Your turn.
Give the fans what they want. Give that team up north the beatdown they deserve. And then take us to the promised land. Take us to that natty where we belong.
Ryan Day needs to be like Moses. Let my people free. Let them go. Time to take us to the promised land, Chris says. Hopefully we're not in the wilderness for 40 years waiting for the next one. Let's get there. Let's get there this year in 2024, everybody. Like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate each and every single one of you for coming and being a part of these previews with us. This is it. Last one, the best one, the Buckeyes. Moving on. It's game week. Get ourselves ready every single day this week. Stuff coming up. So do not miss it. Till next time, Chris. OH.
I-O.
Go Bucks.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.